Part 23. Rainy. Chapter 44. The cut on her arm from the rock chip took 8 stitches to close, but in the woods, Rainy had already used an ancient healing technique to treat the wound, spider webbing. The doctor who'd stitched her up, a young guy new to the North Country, had been skeptical at first. But when he examined the cut and found no evidence of infection, he admitted to being impressed. Still, Rainey's arm is sore and her whole body aches. The first thing she does after Cork and Anton Morisseau leave is take a long, hot soak in the tub. She lies back in the soothing water, closes her eyes, and offers a prayer of thanks to the Creator for her safe return from the wilderness and for Cork's. Then she offers a prayer for her great uncle, who is still out there somewhere. And finally she prays for the safety of those trying to unravel the mystery at the heart of all this violence. When she's finished her bath and dressed, she goes downstairs where things seem unusually quiet. She finds her nephew Daniel alone in the kitchen. Where are Jenny and Wabu? Gone to do some work at Sam's place so they can open up as soon as Cork and Stephen are back. Hungry, Aunt Rainy? I could eat a moose. I'll fix us some lunch. Ham and cheese sandwiches okay? Sounds heavenly. Something to drink? I'll put on some hot water for tea, thanks. As Daniel goes about preparing the meal, Rainy watches him and finally says, "What's troubling you?" Daniel laughs. "It's that obvious. You usually hum while you work." "Preoccupied. You want to be with Cork and Anton." "I feel useless here." "That sandwich you're making is much appreciated." "You know what I mean. You and Cork, cut from the same cloth." The kettle begins to whistle and Rainy makes herself chamomile tea. Daniel brings the sandwiches to the table and sits with his aunt.
"What's wrong now?"
she says when he doesn't eat.
"You let him go."
"Lulu,"
she shrugs.
"I didn't see him as a danger."
"What do you really know about him? He could be a killer."
"Cork is killed, but I know his heart is a good one."
"The man who tracked you down, who led those others to you, you think he has a good heart?" It's not just skepticism she hears in his voice, it's censure as well.
"He's been a spirit divided. I believe he has a better sense now of the journey the Creator has laid out for him. The road ahead will be a different one."
"And if you're wrong?"
"Then Henry's wrong too. Do you believe we both could be that wrong?"
But it's clear to Rainy that Daniel, like Cork and Marcia Dross, is bridling against the decision she and Henry made. The truth is that in the safety of the house on Gooseberry Lane, she's beginning to have her own doubts about much of what occurred in the wilderness. Was the man who now thinks of himself as prophet thinking clearly? And prophet? What does that mean? Even Henry couldn't say. Maybe prophet of death.
One of Henry's basic teachings is that we need to listen more to our hearts and not so much to our heads. "I did what my heart told me was the right thing,"
Rainy says. "I hope you don't regret it. I hope none of us do." Daniel's cell phone rings. It's Jenny asking him to come to Sam's place and take Wabu to play in the park while she finishes up.
"You'll be all right?" he asks Rainy. "I handled myself in the woods. I'm pretty sure I can handle things here."
"I didn't mean..."
"Go. I'll clean up here."
She takes her time straightening the kitchen, then drifts into the living room. She wants to call Cork. He should be in Bina by now. Stephen should be telling him about the lead he believes he's found. Whatever that lead, Rainy hopes this will all be over soon and both O'Connors back safely in Aurora.
She sits in an easy chair, closes her eyes, begins another prayer to the Creator. Then she hears the squeak of the hinges on the door to the back porch off the kitchen. Jenny, she thinks, or Daniel and Wabu. She's sitting with her back to the kitchen. She turns and waits for them to appear. She's not at all prepared for the two men who step through the kitchen doorway with guns in their hands. One is a stranger. The other she's seen before. He glares at her and says, "Thought you killed me, eh?"